Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Monday, June 4th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Hell of a game tonight. We're going to get into all of that very quickly, so I'm going to do my whole spiel right now. You can get this podcast on iTunes, iOS, Google Play, and LockedOnWarriors.com, as well as Spotify, LockedOnSports.com. You can also find this podcast on Facebook at Locked On NBA Net and Locked On Dubs. Make sure you check those out. You can find all of my written work at Forbes.com. I've also written for BleacherReport.com. And you can check out all my credentials on LinkedIn, A-L-I-K-O Carter. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. I'm very happy to have Matt Steinmetz, local guru. Well, he talks with the guru, but he's a guru himself. On 95.7 The Game, as well as, just a smorgasbord of sports-related, Warriors-related jobs over the last, few decades. I grew up listening and watching Matt Steinmetz. So happy to have him here. How you doing?
Hey, man. Aliko, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. What's going on, my man?
I'm just basking in the glory that is Stephen Curry magic. I want to start with Steph. This game was absolutely amazing, and it was partly because of him. I wanted to ask you, what was the arena like when he made that ridiculous shot at the buzzer in the fourth quarter? How did the arena react to that?
Well, there's only one person that can turn on Oracle Arena. 2-11, as Monty Python would say. And it's Curry. There's a relationship that Curry has with this fan base, that is very unique, and it's more special than the fan base has with any other player and maybe any other player in history. I mean, Steph Curry is as popular as Chris Mullin, popular as Jason Richardson and then some. And so he's the player that ushered the Golden State Warriors into this golden era of basketball. And one of the reasons he did it is because he's such a prolific 3-point shooter. Ability to shoot 3-point shots. He also has the ability to make extremely deep shots even when he's defended. And that's what he did tonight. And actually, he also did it at the end of game, at halftime of game one, when J.R. Smith went for a steal. He missed it, and Curry made a 38.
That's true.
So there's just, look, Steph Curry, he's a unique player, and he's taking advantage of the era we're in, and the crowd responds to him like few other players they've ever responded to. So it was electric, and it was as loud as it got in this postseason. And the other thing about Curry too is, he played a heck of a game one. He really did. He was very good in game one, but it kind of got lost because of all the craziness. So he's off to a phenomenal start in this year's finals.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is. 33 points tonight. Finals record 9 three-pointers. Unbelievable. And, he was doing it from all over the court. But it wasn't just him. He had help, obviously, a lot of help. Kevin Durant poured in 26, 20 for Klay Thompson. Jordan Bell with good minutes. Sean Livingston, Kevon, and Jordan Bell kind of like played well off of each other for a short period of time. I just really appreciated the way that Steve Kerr, especially with Kevin Durant getting into foul trouble early, the way Steve Kerr staggered his minutes today.
Well, and he also gave JaVale McGee the start, and that ended up working out well. There's been a lot of people that are kind of clamoring for JaVale McGee, and I think Steve Kerr likes JaVale McGee, but doesn't trust him as much as some other players, and one player is Looney. One of the things about Looney is he's a real safe player. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows the defensive rotations, and he's pretty good when he gets switched out on a smaller player. And when you're playing with four great players like he normally is. You know, if I were a coach, I would rather play a player there who I know is not going to mess it up, but maybe won't make a highlight play, than someone who may foul it up, but might give me a highlight play. That's sure. The job. The number five guy playing for star now, really his job is not to mess it up. And McGee tonight not only didn't mess it up, but he gave the Warriors something. It was a night where the Warriors got contributions from everybody, and Cleveland didn't get enough from anybody. And that's why we saw the game end up 20 points. Sean Livingston was very, very good tonight. He hasn't missed a shot yet in the finals. Jordan Bell gave him some minutes, as you said. And so it was a complete win for the Warriors. Curry scored, Clay scored, Durant, everything clicked tonight. The three scorers scored, Draymond did what he did. They put McGee into the starting lineup. It worked. They brought guys in off the bench that chipped in. David West didn't make the three-pointer. So it's probably the most complete win of the postseason for the Warriors, I would say.
No, I would agree with that, definitely. I do want to put something out there. There were three blocked jump shots tonight that the Warriors were able to manage. Two for David West and one for Draymond Green. I have a drinking game that I play with listeners whenever the Warriors block a jump shot. You take a shot. It's not going to get you drunk, but it'll get you tipsy. Except tonight, if you're a small person, it might get you drunk.
For most teams, fans, they don't even know they have that deal because it doesn't happen for 15, 20 games at a time, it feels like.
Exactly. And that's why I love these Dubs. They hustle so hard on the plays that you don't really see executed that often in NBA basketball. They tend to execute.
I think you're right on the money there. And I think it's something that, you know, maybe doesn't get talked about enough. It's if you're blocking 3-point shots, you're playing defense. I don't think there's anything about that. And I'm actually thinking of a play tonight where it wasn't George Hill. It might have been Jeff Green or somebody where Draymond contested and he got shot faked and still landed and recovered and contested the shot. And yes, if you're a team and you're getting blocks on the 3-point line, I guarantee you, your coach is probably saying we were active tonight, and I like that. And that was definitely the case for the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Active defensively, holding the Cavaliers to 41% shooting, 33% from three. They also missed six free throws. And, you know, it was a total team effort. But I wanted to ask you specifically what you saw out of Kevin Durant, both offensively and defensively tonight. On my show recently, I've been like looking at tape and seeing Kevin Durant kind of leaving me wanting, definitely on the defensive end, but also a little bit offensively. He was the one who missed the assignment on J.R. Smith that allowed J.R. to get that offensive rebound that he then fumbled. As he was trying to figure out what the score was. And, you know, I thought he played a much better game tonight, and I wanted to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, he was definitely better tonight than he was in game one. I think what he was tonight was he was trying from the get-go to be really efficient. You know, the thing about Durant is I do think he's a player who hears criticism, and I think he's been hearing for the last few games that maybe he's not moving the ball enough and maybe he's taking too many shots early in the clock. And I think he's the kind of player that comes out and says, you know what? I'm going to be conservative tonight. I'm not going to take shots early. I'm going to try to move the ball. And when you do that, or let's say when you make a conscious effort to do that, your shot attempts are going to be down, and his were, but his efficiency was up. And he was 10 for 14 tonight. I don't know. What do you have? Seven assists, I think? I think he had seven assists.
Yeah, seven assists.
Rebounds. I don't have a
Yeah, did a little bit of everything. Two blocks. Mm-hmm. And I love this. Only 3 3-point attempts. Like, I'm just like, Kevin Durant is one of the best 3-point shooters of all time. But I don't want him taking 11 threes in a game. I just think he can do so many other things on the court that I think his upper limit for any game should be 7 or 8, you know? That's just my personal feelings about that. He's been jacking lately, and it hasn't been working.
Yeah, that's a fair point, especially because he's such a great mid-range shooter. I'd like to think if he's taking 8 or 9, it's because he's making 3, 4, 5 of them, and there's a reason to take them. But he was good tonight, and he did a little bit of everything. And I think if the game would have dictated it, meaning if the game were closer, he probably would have taken more shots. But everything was kind of working, and the Warriors just seemed to have a comfortable margin all game.
Yeah, for the whole night.
And so it never really got to the point where there were decisions that had to be made in terms of who's going to get a shot at a certain possession.
That's a really good point. And the Warriors did end up winning 3 of the 4 quarters, lost the third quarter by 3 points. We have to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. And we're back. We're talking Dubs. We're also talking Cavaliers. And we're here with Matt Steinmetz. Wanted to ask you, Matt, what you saw from LeBron tonight. Definitely a pretty aggressive LeBron, but, you know, only 20 shots as opposed to however many, 29 or something he took in the last game. Making 10 of 20, very efficient, made some 3-pointers. You know, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, something like that. Doing everything, but still not even managing to take the lead at any point in the game must be frustrating for him. I wanted to ask you first about, like, his body language on the court, what you saw from that, and then also the game that he played overall.
Well, I mean, as far as the game that he played, I just thought he was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I think he's been the best player on the floor for the series. I thought he was the best player the other night in game one. And with all due respect to Steph Curry, I thought LeBron James is the best player tonight. I think he's always going to be the best player for the most part. And he scores 51 in game one, and through 4 quarters, he was 19 for 28. And so they end up losing that game, and he is like a coach. To me, he comes out in the next game and says, you know what, let me see if I can get guys going. And he's a point guard in a power forward's body, and he did everything that the game would have dictated that he did, and they got beat. Why did they get beat? Well, he can't put the ball in the basket for his teammates. That's one thing he can't do, as great as he is. And we're talking about a playoff game where his team shot, 42%, something like that?
Yeah.
He shot 50. He's 10 for 20. He's 2 for 4 from 3. He's making foul shots. He's got 13 assists. I mean, yeah, I guess you could go Skip Bayless and say, well, tonight was the night he should have taken 32 shots. Well, I mean, look, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I think the guy's the greatest player I've ever seen. And I saw Jordan and I saw Bird and I saw Magic. Was he 6-0 in the finals? No. Is he going to lose this year? Probably. Is that his fault at all? No. But no. History's going to remember him as somebody who lost in the finals and had more warts than Michael Jordan, just because we're in the age we're in of social media and digital age, and there's access to more information. But
yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine?
The guy's incredible.
Yeah. Can you imagine, Jordan's gambling or anything like that becoming, you know, public knowledge in the age of social media? That would just be, it would be a different world for Jordan. I'm not sure we'd see the same you know, kind of universal praise that, you know, and LeBron is so polarizing, and there's nothing about his life that's even remotely checkered, which is the funniest thing. But I wanted to, you know, continue on this LeBron question, because there's a growing number of younger players, I mean, younger viewers of the NBA, myself included, who, you know, are not as, we didn't see Jordan, or we saw Jordan when we were kids. And right. So there is this feeling based on what we're seeing from LeBron over the course of the last decade. That and the understanding of how unprecedented it is, or at least for one player to do it, go to the finals every year, you have to go back to the 60s when there were only 9 teams in the league, and, you know, the whole situation was completely different. It wasn't the same NBA. You can make the argument that Jordan's NBA is much closer than Russell's NBA to today's NBA, even though it's very different. But my friend and frequent guest on my show, Miles Johnson, basically said there's proof that Michael Jordan couldn't hack it without a guy like Scotty, because he faced the Celtics. He faced the Detroit Pistons. And until he got Scotty and Phil Jackson, he couldn't do it. And LeBron has carried a poor Cavaliers team to the finals 4 years in a row. Your thoughts?
Well, in fairness to Jordan, your friend is right that he didn't win a title without Pippen or Rodman, but he also was losing to the Celtics when he was young, and the Celtics were phenomenal, and that would have been in the mid 80s. So, you know, he was young at that point and didn't have many teammates who were quality. But, you know, now you go back and look at it. Everybody talks about the greatness of Jordan and 6-0 in the finals, and all that's true. But to my way of thinking, and I'm not taking anything away from Jordan, but to my way of thinking, he played. I think Scottie Pippen's the greatest defender I've ever seen. 6'9" could guard 1 through 4. You could put him on a point guard. He was a little like Draymond, only not quite as physical, and he didn't play inside more. He was a better perimeter defender, as Draymond plays inside. But the point is, Pippen's a great defensive player. Dennis Rodman was a great defensive player. When Ron Harper played for the Chicago Bulls, he was a 6'6 point guard who was very good defensively. And then you did have Michael Jordan, who was a phenomenal defensive player. But what I'm getting at is, that's a hell of a team. That's a hell of a team Michael Jordan was on. And yeah. LeBron got to do that in Miami, but he really hasn't gotten to do that in Cleveland. With all due respect to Kyrie and Kevin Love, I'm taking Pippen and Rodman. And it's not to take anything away from what Jordan did. He was 6-0, and he maybe the greatest player of all time. But I'm not going to hold it against LeBron James, because he's, you know, if he loses this year in the finals, he's going to be 3-6. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
He was only favored twice. He was only favored twice. And we're talking about the NBA, which is the hardest sport to pull an upset in. You know, you don't just come out of nowhere and win the NBA title. I mean, you got to be really, really good. And so when you go to the finals and you're not the best team, it's going to be hard to win. So I think people hold the finals against him too much. And I mean, the other thing where this thing has taken on a life of its own is the way he's playing right now, 15 years into his career, it's unprecedented. It's just unprecedented, the level that he's playing at the age he's playing at.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you completely. 15
you know,
years in.
I guess what I'm saying is, I guess there's going to be a lot of guys who watch Bird and Magic and Jordan, and they'll say, oh, LeBron's no Jordan, or no, Jordan's the greatest. Well, I'm telling you, If LeBron's not the greatest, he's right there with Jordan. Trust me.
I like the direction these conversations are going now with the LeBron versus Jordan. I mean, he just keeps giving us over and over reasons to put him right there or above. And it's fantastic. But I do want to get back to these Golden State Warriors. What did you see from Draymond tonight? I thought he was so active. He's been so good for the entire playoffs on the defensive end, just being everywhere he needs to be, making sure everybody else is everywhere they need to be, and rebounding the ball like I've never seen.
Yeah, you know what's funny is you just talked about his game and how great he was. And as you were saying all this, I was thinking, yeah, he was okay. He was fine. He played his normal kind of Draymond Green game. And that's kind of how great he's become. You know, he's filling up every column of the box score, and he's kind of expected to do that now. And it's gotten to the point where it's, you know, if he doesn't do it, something's wrong. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, if he doesn't do it, the Warriors aren't the same team they are when he does do it. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things about the Warriors that's just really I don't know if the word's unprecedented or not, or I'm trying to think if it's been done before, but you know, you can make a case they have four different superstars on their team, but they don't, you know, they all bring out the best in each other. And that's not easy to do because most superstars are scorers, and pretty much scorers alone. And so how can you have four scorers? But Draymond's become elite because of things other than scoring, and Klay Thompson's become great half because of his offense, but half because of his defense too. Mm-hmm. So even though they got four stars, they're not necessarily four guys who just score. You know, Curry scores, but he can also pass. And
yeah,
you know,
8 assists tonight to go along with his 33 points.
And the fact that, yeah, and Kevin Durant's a great scorer. You know what? He's great. He's maybe the best isolation player in the league. Well, perfect, because the Warriors don't have any isolation players. Their scorers aren't isolation players. So they, you know, it's just the chemistry's just really good, and you know, I think two more wins is a foregone conclusion. It's just how long it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to take one more break. We'll be right back. We're back with Matt Steinmetz on Locked On Warriors, and we're talking Dubs, but I wanted to specifically talk because the last thing that we ended on was that it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to get those two more wins. It's just a matter of when. That was me knocking on wood. And, you know, so you feel the greatness that is kind of sweeping over the Bay Area, just this kind of this feeling that we're a part of something incredibly, incredibly special. We've used the words unprecedented before. We've used the words greatest assemblage of talent of all time. Which I truly believe it is. We are in a, as Warrior fans who've been, you know, doing this for a long time, we're in a period that most people never see in their lifetime. And, you know, I wanted to hear your thoughts, Matt, on, you know, just what that feel, how do you describe that feeling? You know, how would you describe that feeling?
What feeling exactly? Where they kind of fit?
No, not necessarily where they fit in history, but just like the understanding that we're a part of, you know, something that's really, really, really special.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no, I mean, well, this thing is twofold. One is the Warriors right now are the Showtime Lakers. They're the Celtics of the 80s. They're the Chicago Bulls of the 90s. They're one of those teams now that's right up there with those teams because they're multi-championship teams, and now it's been 3, 4, 5 years of dominance. You know, they're the Spurs. Whenever the Spurs had their best, 6, 7 year run. So yeah. that in and of itself makes them probably one of only kind of like 8 teams. I mean, if you just think about it, it's like, okay, there was the Celtics in the 60s. Then you had the 70s, and it was, the Knicks won a couple early. The Bucks won one. Portland,
Celtics again.
Yeah, the 70s was a bunch of different teams, and no one really stood out. Then came the Celtics and the Lakers. Then came the Bulls. So the point is what we're watching has only happened, let's say, maybe a half a dozen times in terms of garnering championships. I mean, you could make a case that the Utah Jazz, for 20 years with Stockton and Malone, were dominant in their own right, but they never won a title. They got 2 finals and didn't win it. The point is yes. Okay. So now you have the Warriors, doing something that maybe has only happened a half dozen times. But the other part of it, which makes it incredible, really, or which makes it surreal, is that this was the worst franchise in the league for a long time, or considered the worst franchise in the league for a long time. I mean, they were the laughingstock, and they went 12 years once without making the playoffs from 95 to 2007. Then they made the playoffs and they didn't make it again for 5 years. But it wasn't just that they were not good. It was that stuff happened. They had a player who choked the coach in 1997. Latrell Sprewell and PJ Carlissimo. And I guarantee you there's probably some 20-year-old fans or younger who they've never even heard of those two guys. Well, those two guys were part of a history in Golden State that was just a history you didn't want to be a part of. Because it was a losing franchise, period. It was a losing franchise. And so for them to be where they are now, after having been where they were 15, 20 years ago, that's the part where if you're a Warrior fan, if you've been a Warrior fan for, 20, 30, 40 years, you have a completely different perspective of what's going on. I think you appreciate it more. I think you realize that what's happening right now is historic. I mean, how old are you, man?
I'm 29. Well, I will be in a few
29.
Weeks.
29. Okay, so you're actually, I thought you were a little younger, but nevertheless, 29.
Yeah, I would say you've been a Dubs fan for 20 years.
But even if you're a 20-year-old, this is it. You ain't seeing this again. When this ends, it's over. You're just not. It's not going to happen. I don't think young people understand that. Steph Curry's already 30. Right?
Yeah.
They've already looked more. How do I want to say? I was going to say more vulnerable, but I'll say it this way. This year they looked less invincible than they've looked in the past. I don't know how long it's going to go. I mean, this may be it. Maybe they'll win another one or two. Point is, after this is gone, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah,
it's over. It will never happen in your lifetime again. It just won't. I guarantee it. Almost as much as people may think differently, but it's just they may get back on top again, but it'll never ever be like this.
Yeah,
like this now with Steph Curry and Durant and Draymond. It just can't, because this is so unique. And what I mean by that is, the Celtics want it where the Celtics are right now. They won it with Garnett that 1 year. And, they're getting back on the map and they got a good team. But they're never going to be the Celtics of Bird and Matt and McHale and Johnson. It just doesn't happen like that. It's going to have to be something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. The one team I think about that has those kind of like eras that really are almost on par with each other are the goddamn Los Angeles Lakers. Just can't seem to escape the Lakers, but, you know, they have their history with the logo, and then you've got the 80s Showtime, and then you've got Shaq and Kobe, and then you've got Kobe. And I think people tend to put those, but I'm getting away from myself. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors here. We got a few more minutes of time to hear what Matt has to say about this game, and I just wanted to ask you, what's your prediction for how this series shakes out?
Well, before I answer that, I guess I do want to go back and revisit my last answer. I shouldn't say it'll never happen again. It might. It could. It's within the realm of possibility. And the reason I'm saying I need to take that back about it never happening again is because 20 years ago, I never in a million years could have imagined this happening. It was unfathomable. So I wanted to revisit that last answer there. As far as the rest of the series goes, you know, it depends on your perspective. I think Cleveland's going to play better at home. I think they have a chance to win game three. I think that if you're a Warrior fan, it's easy to say we're in control. And if you're just a casual fan, series is over. And I wouldn't tell those people they're wrong, because I think the Warriors are going to win the series. But I always try to look at it from the other point of view. And if you're Cleveland, you're trying to look for positives. I mean, you can say we had them beat in game one. We got some bad luck with the whistle. And then one of our guys missed the foul shot. And then another guy made a bonehead, but we're right there. And even tonight, you know, midway through the third quarter, it's still a competitive ball game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're Cleveland and you're LeBron James and he's been around for forever, say, let's go out and let's win game three. We'll try to feed off the emotion of the crowd and win a game. And if they can win the next game, well, then all of a sudden game four becomes important and meaningful. So, you know, I don't think it's over, but I do think it's a long shot, because now you just look at the math. I mean, the Cavaliers got to beat the Warriors 4 out of 5 games. That's hard to imagine. Yeah. It's really hard to imagine. I mean, you know, the one thing I was thinking was, and it might not mean anything, but if you take the fact that the Rockets won 2 out of 3 against the Warriors in the regular season, and that they were up 3-2 in the series, I get it. But if there's regular season games in there, but that means the Rockets beat the Warriors 5 of 8 times this year before they lost the last two. I mean, that is so hard to do. It's incredible. I don't care if, you know, I don't. You could go around the league and find teams that haven't won 5 games against the Warriors in, you know, in a long, long time, let alone in the span of 5 months. So
the Cavs,
but I can't. Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's think of the Cavs. They're down 2-0. They lost all 2 in the regular season. So the Warriors have won 8 of 9 now against the Cavaliers. So they've won 8 of their last 9. How the Cavaliers going to win 4 out of the next 5? I mean, it's unlikely. But, you know, it's sports, so you never say never.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for that final thought, Matt. And thank you all for listening. Stay thoughtful, Hoopheads.